The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome back to part two of the Power of Desire 8-part series. If you have not listened to part one, I would highly suggest going back and listening to that episode before moving on to this one. Last week, we talked about clarifying your desire in part one and why it's so important to do that. As a quick recap today, before moving on to this episode, I would suggest going back and making sure you took a note of the desire you chose. And to deepen that, I would suggest to also take a note on the energy surrounding that desire. Did you find a desire that feels so out of reach that you're like, that's never going to happen? And in that regard, I would say that's the equivalent of holding on to the seeds and not even planting them. Or is it a desire that feels like, oh, I need that so badly. And so you're like, maybe you planted the seeds, but you keep digging them up and checking on them. So graspy that you feel like you have it in a chokehold. And if the energy feels a little bit different than either of those scenarios, then take a note of that as well, because it's going to come in handy during this next step in the process. And it will also come in handy when we get to the fifth episode and revisit the first topic in the audio course more in depth. If you are really enjoying the podcast and are interested in diving deeper with me as your mentor, you can follow the Work With Me link in the show notes of the episode. You will also find my Instagram in the show notes where you can see what I'm up to and where I am in the world. Don't forget to follow me or leave good reviews on your favorite podcasting platforms. It really does make all the difference in the world. And remember, the first four parts of this series will always be available on the podcast, but parts 5 through 8 will only be available until the beginning of November 2023. If you are listening to this episode after that date, then you can find the link to purchase the 4-part Power of Desire audio course in the show notes. Without further ado, let's go to part 2 of this 8-part Power of Desire series. So, in part 2 today, we are going to be talking about the thing that happens after you let yourself desire what you want. And we already touched on this briefly in part 1, how the majority of the time that we desire things, the mind automatically swoops that desire up and picks it apart and comes up with all the reasons why we can't have it. And usually chucks it in the dead desire bucket where it will lay forever. Unrequited. It will just sit there forever and ever until we reach back in the bin and pull it out again. And so in part one of this series, we reached into the bin and we pulled that desire out and we took a good look at it. And I thought that it was really important in part one to advise all of you to focus on a single thing that you are desiring instead of a laundry list of things, because it can get a little overwhelming if you do that, especially in this next step. It'll feel like, holy shit, that's a lot. So just pick and choose. Even if you haven't done it just yet, if you made your laundry list of desires, that's amazing. Keep it. Do not throw it away. But for this exercise today, I would suggest, like I said, just picking one little thing off that list. Do you have it? Okay, cool. So, the beautiful thing about this next step is that it is going to become super clear really quickly why this thing has not been created in your everyday life just yet. And if this step feels null and void to you, that's amazing. Move on to something else. What happens when we allow ourselves a desire in this second step is we start to recognize where the mind is telling us that we cannot have what we want. And this is like the most simple journaling exercise that I would prompt you all to do. On one page of your journal, write out What do I really desire? And write out your simple one-liner, whatever the thing is. It could be a single word, a full sentence, whatever it is. I desire, fill in the blank. That next thing that you really want. And on the next page, you're going to list off all the bullshit the mind is coming up with around why you can't have it. And this is when awareness within yourself becomes really important. What are the stories that the mind is creating right now about that desire? I desire this thing. And now we're going to look at and list out all the things that the mind is saying about why we can't have it. And a lot of these things are going to feel really true. And you're also going to experience and start to become aware, or I'd invite you to become aware, of a sensation that's present in your body as you're writing out all of these thoughts and beliefs and stories. Like I was saying in the first part of this series, the mind likes to grasp onto the desires that we want to bring into this world, and it tries to predict the future based off of what it's experienced so far in this lifetime. It tries to predict the future. It's like, there's no way. And then it chucks it in the desire bucket, the dead desire bucket. But what we're doing is taking it out, we're looking at the desire, and we're just letting ourselves inspect the thoughts that are going on in our mind, right? Like, what are the stories that our mind is creating about this desire? We're going to list them all out in a pretty list, and don't go overboard on this, because the mind can really, really start to create all the stories. Again, just like with the first step, when you're looking at your desire, choosing one of them, we're going to look at this list after you've compiled it and decide which one of these things feels like it is creating the most emotional response out of me when I think it. Like, it's either a painful thought, it's a thought that makes you want to hurl yourself through a wall, it's a part that makes you want to scream, that makes you feel defeated and depressed. Notice the sensation that you're feeling, the emotions that are arising as you're listing out these things. And as a disclaimer here, I know that a lot of us are in the manifestation community, right? And this comes up with my clients a lot. Them being like, well, I don't want to list these things out because that's like, I'm just calling in like a negative reality. Listen, these thoughts are already going on in your head. The only way that we can let go of them is by putting them down on paper and facing them head on. We're just facing them head on. We are not calling them into existence. You can even affirm to yourself before you write them down if it makes you feel more comfortable. Make a statement to the universe. I am setting a boundary. I am writing these thoughts down, these beliefs, these stories that my mind is creating down on physical paper to release them. I do not accept this energy, or whatever witchy thing you want to do with it. I personally, in my personal belief system, I do not believe that just because I write something negative down, that means I'm going to call it into my experience. But I don't judge anyone who holds that belief. So that's just a suggestion. If you feel any resistance to writing down the quote-unquote negative stories that are going on in your head. The reason that we're doing this is because the mind is using these stories as a tactic to hold us where we've always been. We cannot create a new reality if this is what our mind is focusing on. And very specifically, we cannot call in a new reality when the mind is thinking these things, is creating these stories, and we are having an emotional reaction to it. So the point of this next step isn't to eliminate the thoughts. The thoughts are going to exist because the mind exists. Until our reality truly changes, our mind is going to think what it thinks. So the trick to all of this isn't about changing the thought itself. It's about taking the sting out of the thought. It's like when a wound is healing on your body. If you're continuing to pick the scab off, you know, it's just going to keep reopening the wound. That's what like having the emotional reaction to the thought is. It's like us picking the wound. We're not letting it heal fully. But if we can just allow it to heal, allow it to be there, allow the emotion to be in our body, allow the sensation that that thought is creating in our body to be there. It's like letting the scab heal over and fall off naturally. It's not going to take as long as a scab healing on our physical bodies, but like, that's just the analogy that's coming to me right now. The thoughts themselves can exist. The mind can think whatever the motherfuck it wants, but if we're having an emotional reaction to it, that's when the energy starts to shift in our everyday life. That's when we're feeding into it. That's when it feels true. How many times have you had an invasive thought? Like an absolutely ridiculous one. Like I feel like a really common one is you're in a library or somewhere quiet and you have the invasive thought, like, what would happen if I just like karate chopped all the books off the shelf? You know, like you're not actually going to do it, but it's just like a weird intrusive thought and you're like, the fuck? And then you just move on with your life because you don't have emotional attachment to it. You don't believe it. That's not going to manifest in your everyday reality because it's just a thought. The mind is weird. The mind thinks weird shit. But when we get attached emotionally to our thoughts and they feel true, then that's the road. That's like when you're having an emotional reaction to a thought, that's basically like you paving the way to walk in that direction. And for any, like I said, this can become a very, very overwhelming step. And this is why I say, please, let's focus and fixate on one thing at a time. One desire, and then let's look at this list of all the thoughts that the mind is coming up with, all the stories. Not every single story here is going to have the same emotional reaction. We're going to pick the most activating thought, because that is the one that's going to help push all the dominoes down. Like, the one that is the most emotionally triggering to us, more than likely, is going to deactivate a lot of the other thoughts and beliefs that you've listed out so far. So before you get overwhelmed, or like, dude, what the fuck, I didn't want to think about this, just remember, this is just one thing at a time. This is a process, and it becomes really easy once you can shift your awareness to this, and it will change your entire life. So we're looking at this list, we're picking one thought, and we are going to allow ourselves to experience the emotion that arises. That's it. We're just going to let the emotion be okay. We're going to let the thought be okay. We're not going to do anything with the thought or the emotion other than let it exist. Emotional processing. Handling emotion in a healthy way. And this might be an annoying thing for me to say right now, and I apologize in advance. Don't hate me. Don't come for me. But if you don't know how to process your emotions through all the multitude of techniques out in the universe, in the world, like RTT, energetic work, NLP, EFT, like inner voicing, I mean, there's just so many different ways that you can learn emotional processing, and that's just the ones that I've used in my experience. If you don't have any of those tools, this is basically where this process is going to stop for you. Doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means you need to learn the emotional processing techniques. You need to learn how to experience an emotion fully. You need to learn how to process emotion in reality. The easiest way that I can describe this to people is by just letting your emotion exist and letting it be in your body, not judging the fact that it's there and not having the intrusive thoughts that are saying that it's bad to feel this way. A lot of us were never taught how to feel emotion in a healthy way. We were taught to avoid it, to shove it down, to stifle it, to not feel it at all. And that alone can hold us stagnant within our lives. But if you know the emotional tools, the emotional tool of your choice, then the next step in this process is to look that thought, that belief, that story that your mind has created. And remember, the mind is trying to predict the future that doesn't fucking exist. The story that it's creating about why you cannot have that thing is a false prediction of a future that does not exist. And you're having an emotional reaction to nothing. Sorry if you could hear that. There is a gecko in here that wanted its 2 seconds of fame. Anyway, It is just creating a story. You're having a reaction to a false future, a future that does not exist yet. That is all. Isn't that equal parts annoying and also relieving? It's not real. The reason that you feel like you can't have what you want doesn't exist yet. It hasn't happened yet. Your mind is just trying to predict the future. It says, that's what I think is going to happen. And so we're just not going to do anything. We're going to do nothing. We're just going to plop it in the dead desire bin and never look at it again, instead of having to potentially go through that. No. False. Every time. It's not true. We cannot know. We cannot predict what will happen next in our lives. This was like one of the most profound things I ever heard. And I don't remember who said it. But it was like, have you ever been able to predict your future? Have you ever successfully been able to look ahead in your life and thought and just knew, and then you were right? Maybe like 5% of the time. But really though, how often have you been right about what was going to happen next? So why are you trying to do that now if you could not do that before? If so rarely you could do it before? This is just the human experience at this point in evolution. The mind trying to keep us safe does not want us to move into uncharted territory because it believes that its job is to protect us from danger. And anything unknown feels like danger to the mind. Boom. The things that you're going to continuously list off, the stories that are going to come up in your mind about why you can't have the thing that you want, once again, I'm going to pound this into everyone's brains. It is a reaction to a non-existent future because you can't predict what's going to happen next. And the mind is only basing that prediction off of what it's experienced in this life before. And almost 9 times out of 10, the thing that happens next is not something that's happened to you before. Because life isn't that boring. Unless you manipulate it to that way, which, you know, we've all been at that point in our lives where we're controlling life so much that we live the predictable lifestyle. But when you learn to let go, what happens next just becomes so unpredictable. It's impossible for you to know. The way that I look at life is every time we have a desire, it's like this long hallway of infinite doors appears in front of us. Infinite doors, and they're all unlocked. We can go through any of them. Every single door is a solution that the world, the universe, source, God, your inner voice, the whatever, will give to you through inspired action, through thought, through happenstance, through all the things. And you'll be able to go to any of these doors, and each of these doors will be correct, and they will each be a solution. But what happens is the mind comes in and it starts to hyperfixate on what it believes that the solution is. And it's one door out of like a billion. A single door. And then, also, 9 times out of 10, it decides that that specific door is locked. And so not only has it locked a billion whatever doors, but it's also locked the one door that it believes that it could even go through. It's like, well, that's the one that I know that we've gone through before, but like, that couldn't work now. Oh, well, I guess I'm screwed. And then it just leaves the infinite doors behind. Whereas the universe is just like, no, all you have to do is let yourself want it. And then suddenly the door will just appear. Like one of the doors will open. Maybe a few of them will open. And it won't be a door that your mind even knows about. It doesn't even know it exists. The mind is so programmed to do what it's what has been done before, what is programmed to do, and it can only be programmed to do what it's done before, or what it's experienced someone else do before. And so the mind is never going to have the solution. The solution lies in letting go of all the stories that goes on, that go on in your mind. Whatever thought is coming up that the mind is using as evidence for not being able to achieve the thing that you desire is just one door. And if you could look at that and release the emotional attachment that you have to it, process the emotion, and you'll know that the emotion has processed because you'll be able to think this thought with no emotional reaction. It'll just be a random thought, like I should just karate chop all these books off the bookshelf at the library when everyone's quiet, and then just walk away. It'll just be another thought, like, oh, interesting, mind. Thank you for that one. And then, when you can just hold the desire, everything else starts to open up around you. So this next step, like I said, if you do not have the emotional peace in your life, just desire it. Desire it. Like, let the solution to the emotional work come. There are so many different ways to process emotion. None of them are wrong. The easiest one that's popping into my head right now is if you have emotional attachment to one of these thoughts, just label it with an emotion, right? Like, what emotion do you experience in your body when this thing comes up? And now go to YouTube and type in EFT for and plug in that emotion. And 100,000 of those videos are going to come up on how to walk you through releasing anxiety, releasing fear, releasing anger, whatever the thought, whatever the feeling is that comes up, the emotion. Maybe EFT isn't for you, I don't know. Book an RTT session. Book an inner voice session with someone in the Lively community. Just find whatever works for you to release the emotional attachment to that thought. And then we will move on to the third step. I just want you all to know that if you feel like you have questions about any of this, like, I don't know how to do the emotional work. Like, I honestly don't. I don't know what fucking EFT is. Like, I don't know what inner voice work is. I don't know what any of these things are. Like, what do I do? If that is you and you're feeling like that at this step in the process that you're feeling a little bit lost, just message me on Instagram. Like, I just genuinely want as many people as I possibly can to know how to do this. It is not as scary as you think it is. I promise. As somebody who has had to feel all of the things and who was terrified to feel all of the things, it is, trust me, it's not as scary as you think it is. I promise, promise, pinky promise to all of my beautiful listeners. So just to recap, now that we've gone through part one and part two, part one was asking yourself the big question, what do I really desire right now? And you could even add the caveat at the end, like, what do I really desire that I feel like I can't have? That'll make it a really nice loaded desire for you that you know you have a lot of resistance to. What do I want that I feel like I can't have? And then moving on to step two today is, okay, we're gonna look at that now. Instead of just chucking it in the bin, like we all do almost completely unconsciously, we're not thinking about it, it's just the way that we're programmed to experience life, right? We're going to take it out of the bin and we're going to look at it. We're not going to be afraid of it. We're going to look at all the things that pop up into our mind. When I ask the question, why do I feel like I can't have this thing? You're going to come up with the laundry list. And like I said, don't go overboard, but also just go till you feel like you're done. When you feel like, okay, this feels like it's getting a little bit much, that's the point to stop. Once you do that, you create that list. I want you to look at that list and I want you to find the thing that feels the most emotionally triggering to you in that list. The thing that creates the most emotional upheaval in your physical body. And then you're doing the emotional bit. You're going to do the emotional bit until you can think that thought, that story can pop up into your mind and it means nothing. You have no emotional attachment to it. That is step number two, which, like I said, may feel loaded. Forgive me. It's just part of the process. And once you learn how to do it, the step becomes really easy. Like I said, I promise you. Okay, and I will see you all in a few days for part 3. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy.